action since July 18, 2008. A motion is appropriate?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or comments?
I had a question. If Dr. Sealing's still here?
Right back here.
In the back. And then the sight lines. Sight lines are hard in this frame. I had a question on page 84 of this document about the raises in the amounts of $10,000 for football assistant coaching staff. Wondering where the money came from. Is that coming from the savings from cutting in soccer?
Probably not. The revenue that we're generating, as well as overall operating revenue that we have capacity with. So there's some savings in soccer. It wasn't returned completely to the university, so there was a little bit of capacity. It's hard to say if you directed the exact dollar from men's soccer to football. It's just overall net revenues, net expenses, what we have available.
Okay, so it could be coming out of that. It could be coming out of the revenue stream for football.
Yeah, it's all goes into one big bucket. It's hard, again, to tag one stream of revenue for one particular expense. So I don't know what we're looking for there. Other than it's coming from athletics.
Right.
And it's not coming from the university at large, per se. That's your question.
No, you told me the two things I was looking for.
I have a question as well on page 80, and this just may be something that I don't understand. Halfway down it says DCHS, and it's $21,000 to hold the rate salary, and it's four times for the same person. And is that going to be 21 plus 21 plus 21 plus 21 for each of those positions, or what is...
Tony, can you...
page 80, and it looks like it's a different effective date. So every time you change the effective date, it generates a record, and that we're working to try to get a streamlined report out of the computing system. But that's what I believe that is. Right, Tony, the middle of page 80 is just a change in the effective date for the same individual.
It does look like the former SGA president holds four positions, doesn't it? The way it reads now.
The title's just changing.
Yeah,
the
title changes.
And the amount is, it's only one amount.
So that's exactly what that is. And I was speaking with someone yesterday who was coming in on the past SGA president working on campus in Katy, that took a position there that had someone leave, so it's a year ago for nothing.
They're office assistant, office associate, a temp clerk, and then an office assistant.
It's four different jobs in 4 months.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh. See, the title's changing.
Oh. Okay.
I'm making 84,000.
No. That's what I was trying to get down to the bottom line.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Any other
questions? This past year we had a provision in our budget mostly for faculty that dealt with when somebody is here for an extended period of time, and others in the department are hired in perhaps even at a higher salary than somebody who's been here a long time, just because of the way salaries flow. From time to time, we'll have a compression appropriation to boost the salaries of employees with long tenure because of compression as a result of other employees coming into the department, perhaps in new positions or new hires. You have to keep your salary structure in a reasonable context. Is that a fair summary of that?
Right. That's the item. It was in special initiatives in the budget that we approved in June. It was that's not all the money that is needed to alleviate salary compression. We're about $600,000 short of where we need to be. It's a good start. It's a good start.
One thing, there were a couple of positions that I thought were fairly new to the university that actually had salary compression.
One other explanation is that I think the university went for several decades and never did increase the promotion rate.
Yes.
$1,000 or $1,200 or $1,500, something like that.
really, really was low. And several years ago, you approved allowing us to increase those rates. And what it did is it put some faculty above others who had been here for a longer period of time. So it took 2 points.
Good.
One last clarification on football. When I looked at it, we lost an assistant coach who was in Indiana. He was being paid a much higher salary than the person we brought in to replace him. So there was capacity to redistribute some salary, which we did to that particular coach and a few others.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Question. What would it take for the staff to have a salary compression study done?
Capacity to do so. Faculty were had to be a higher priority in this last budget cycle. Capacity to do so.
Yeah, just,
I mean, but in the previous year, we had, as you know, some money devoted to staff positions. So every budget cycle is different, and as everybody knows, I think by now our priorities going forward are going to be fixed cost increases and faculty staff compensation, and there's not going to be many. That's going to be a real simple budget next year.
All in favor of the motion to approve the personnel actions, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Item 8.
In your auxiliary packet, supplemental package, the red folder, you'll find our annual report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2008. We took a little different approach this time, and I really commend our staff in public affairs for being able to summarize a year in the life of WKU in a concise manner, but I call this to your attention. I'm really pleased with both the efficiency and the cost savings as compared to the typical annual report that we might produce. And I commend this to your reading. This will be mailed to members of the President's Circle, other volunteers, individuals on our mailing list, General Assembly, on and on, I presume, in the days ahead. So this just came in this week, and it takes a while to put an annual report together after the close of the fiscal year, but a great job on the part of everybody involved, not the least of which our faculty and staff across campus who make the things in here possible. But we try to do this in a very precise and comfortable way that you could zero in on and get a grasp of our current perspectives at WKU. So our annual report for the year completed on June 30. 2008.
I dare say that will be read more than a book.
No problem.
I would think. Okay.
One final item. I do need to, as a. Excuse me?
We still have some action. Okay. Go ahead, and then we'll
come back.
All right. Madam Secretary, we had a vote on the approval of the personnel actions, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Number 8 is approval of the quarterly meeting schedule that we have in our packet. Did you bring your calendars as was suggested, and is that a motion to accept the recommended calendar?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions, comments, or other? Hearing none, all in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we've adopted our calendar.
Yes.
All right, President's report.
I look up and I see Helen Siever standing back there. Helen is our landscape architect for the university, but is also the project manager for our chapel project. Helen, if you would come forward, do you need any help with the easel or anything at all?
Aye.
All right, you do that while I put this in context for the board. You received rather detailed communication from me in the recent weeks regarding a chapel at WKU. I've sent to you the financial profile for the project, the timeline, and in your supplemental packet is a brochure that describes this project. The key points, I think, for the governing board here, philosophically, why a chapel at WKU? In my opinion, I go back to our roots. Henry Hardin Cherry conducted initially chapel every day, then became weekly and then monthly, and eventually dissipated with the passage of time. But we've never had in our 102-year history, a actual physical chapel on our campus. And chapels are not uncommon in colleges and universities, including public colleges and universities across our nation. And this is not something we could use state money or university funds to build, but we do have private benefactors who are interested in this project, most notably David Chandler, who's made a gift in my initial communication with you. I told you it was a gift of $1.2 million at $10,000 a month for 10 years. Dave has since very thoughtfully going to make that an $800,000 gift paid in full up front. And that is far better than $1.2 million over 10 years. And it allows the chapel to move forward progressively and much more expeditiously. And that $800,000 will be paid in full by the time construction begins. We do have a little bit more money to raise, but we have a number of proposals out. In fact, I'm encouraged that we will not only raise the money, the $1.6 million budget, but we will be able to create an endowment that will sustain operations going forward. The WKU Foundation has approved this project and guaranteed the funding on it so that it will be built entirely with private funds. And if there's any lending circumstance that needs to be done because of pledge payouts, the foundation will secure that loan and cover the payment on that loan. This will not be a – you will never take action for the funding of this chapel from a construction standpoint. However, I do want to stop short of saying that there will never be state money involved, because groundskeepers will cut the grass, custodial crew will clean the facility, university employees will be in and out of this facility, setting up and taking down for events in the chapel. It is on state property. It is a state facility. So please understand that I will not say that no state funds will ever be used in this project, because in theory, every day there will be state employees and day-to-day routine things that will be done in and around the grounds of the chapel, particularly given its campus location. In my opinion, this adds great strength to our campus, a place for solitude, for contemplation, for faith, whatever your expression of faith might be. It's completely non-denominational. Any campus group, any individual will be able to use this facility. We will refrain from allowing a given campus group to use it on a regular basis, because we do not want it to become associated with a given denomination. But it is something that I think is very important. And it's also a place that's missing on a campus, where we celebrate life's most treasured moments, weddings, family celebrations, and also salute and observe and mourn life's most tragic circumstances, in the case of a death of a student or an alumnus or a member of our faculty or staff. So this is something that I think adds a rich dimension to the WKU experience, and I'm pleased with the private donors that have come forward thus far. And this brochure will be sent out to members of our president's circle immediately following the proposal and, again, presumed approval at the state process. But the sequence is Foundation Board guaranteeing the project, Board of Regents approving the project, Council on Post-Secondary Education approving the project, Capital Projects and Bond Oversight Committee approving the project. You've seen that timeline. CPE meets on November 7. Capital Projects and Bond Oversight Committee meets on November 18. So that's the approval sequence. Presuming state approvals, this will go out in late November, and we'll bid the project. And again, assuming bids come in under budget, we'll be underway in a February-ish time frame. Again, if that occurs, I would project completion maybe as early as December 09. But maybe it might be into 2010 by a month or two. But it's not a big facility. It's about 80. But you can see from the renderings, it's stone and slate and wood, and will complement the architecture at the top of the hill. Be located right across the street from the Kentucky Building, right next to the Alumni Center, and assuming board approval, because this is a public meeting, we will announce this afternoon Mr. Chandler's gift and have a ceremony that will unveil these things publicly. It's not a groundbreaking because we're not breaking ground yet. We haven't even bid the project yet. But the public needs to know about this project once you take action today in public session in that regard. So I recommend it for your approval. I'd be glad to respond to any questions. Again, I think an important dimension of the WKU experience. Patty?
I think we need a motion before we
move approval.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. You're on the ball here.
There is a columbarium part of it, too. Excuse me. You have three actions. A request to approve the project, approval of the naming of the chapel, the Chandler Memorial Chapel, and three, you have in your package the columbarium policies. And, again, that's not unique to WKU, not quite as common as chapels on campuses, but a columbarium is what I think an important dimension of this for those who may have an interest. And we'll see. We need to sell 50 for the columbarium portion. Helen, if you'll point out where the columbarium will actually be joining the plaza on the back side of the chapel.
Right. It'd be actually recessed in this retaining wall here. You see some cavities. What you do is you'd have access to this space by lifting the capstone off of that retaining wall. So that capstone comes off once to inter an urn, and it goes back on. So it's very secure for entry.
Assuming you approve this, so Julie and I will buy the first niche this afternoon.
May I just...
And share it.
Let's just take a moment here. I want to make sure we have...
My wishes were all...
It's not like I shared this afternoon.
People jumped in with emotions quite quickly without declaring what they want. You say your motion included all three things as stated in the memorandum.
The second
is that, and that supports all three phases of this. Okay. All right. Hearing that, discussion, comments.
Two questions / comments. First, you mentioned that the chapel will be non-denominational.
Correct.
For clarification, will it also be non-sectarian, recognizing that if this is a campus with international reach, that many of our faculty and students are non-Christian, they're Muslim, they're Hindus, so non-sectarian meaning there is going to be no religious iconography whatsoever, and all faiths.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct, and I stand corrected if non-denominational does not cover
non-sectarian
that.
Non-sectarian is the word.
Non-sectarian is a better word. Thank you.
Non-denominational refers to the Christian tradition.
Thank you. Yes, to answer your question, absolutely. I want someone who has no faith to be as welcome here as somebody who does, and I want a Muslim to be as comfortable and welcome here. And we hope this will be a 24/7 place. Now, time will tell
if that's practical.
Okay.
The second point is really just a statement. I applaud the fundraising that goes into this project and all of the other private fundraising projects, but I want to publicly urge you that these fundraising projects cannot come to the exclusion of fundraising privately for the academic mission, particularly for endowed professorships, endowed scholarships, and the things that are so crucial to making us nationally competitive and being the university that we say we want to be. So the fundraising at some point has to go to the academic mission as well.
I agree, and it is, and I don't think you've seen a decline in our numbers, and they continue to go up, and this is a small project compared to our total cash flow from private gifts and the volume of proposals that are outstanding. Let me give you one example in response, and you raise a very good point. Most of our fundraising is at faculty positions and scholarships. A relatively small portion of our fundraising and our current capital campaign and our last campaign, Tom, comes from or is destined for brick and mortar. A relatively small portion. Dave Chandler is on our campaign cabinet and has been on our campaign cabinet since this campaign began. and has been a part of the fundraising strategy discussions at that meeting on that meets quarterly all the way along. When it was proposed that we consider seeking individuals who would have an interest in a chapel project, his eyes lit up, obviously, considerable capacity, and he said, that's what I want to do. And so, like people who have passions for different parts of this university, the arts, their discipline, athletics, different people migrate toward different initiatives. And so far, we've only, you know, about a half a dozen gifts. I expect this will have less than a dozen major gifts, and there might be others who might give smaller gifts, and then those who will purchase a columbarium niche. So I don't see this involving a significant number of gifts to make it happen. It's a pretty small project. So, but point well taken, and you're right, but I would absolutely assure you that academic endowed positions and scholarships continue to be our focus in our fundraising efforts, our primary focus, far and away greater than any other brick-and-mortar initiative.
And it should be.
Well, I think students are going to be excited about this once Mr. Chandler makes his announcement this afternoon. Secondly, my only suggestion would be in the columbarium rules and regulations, there's a committee that is set up to be oversight by the columbarium administrator, someone in alumni affairs.
Correct.
My only suggestion is possibly adding the president of Student Alumni Association to that list in the committee. So,
Tom, if you'll make that note, that'll be in the alumni relations office. So if you'll make that note, please.
And my question is, by saying that this facility will be non-sectarian, does that include eliminating things on the inside that may indicate a religion or another, you know, like crosses? Or
I think that's the point Patty was making.
Right.
No, it will not have any identifiers with any particular religion in it.
In it.
Well, one thing we're working with the architects on is a movable stage or dais that can be brought in that supports a particular worship style,
mm-hmm.
but could go into a storage area, which is at a corner of the building. The center area here, this rectangle, mm-hmm. is simply an open space with a vaulted ceiling that you see right here, and glass that keeps it open to nature on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then at each end, there's a vestibule or gathering area. So really, it's a building with a great deal of flexibility in its space. You can have a service that's in the round, or you can have a Hindu service that relies on circumambulation, you know, moving all the way around the space, or you can put in a traditional seating with a center aisle and an altar. And so have it working with the architects to have that flexibility be an inherent part of it, we felt was something that was very important.
So the seating would be like individual
chairs. Right, invisible chairs, right. And all of them could be stacked and taken out so that there's no seating whatsoever if people prefer to kneel for a service. So it'll be very flexible. And then with doors, two pairs of doors, as you see here, on both sides of the building that open out and make this, on a day like today, a space that would accommodate a much larger crowd than the 80 or so that can be seated inside.
Just so I understand, though, if somebody were saying, let's have an example, a funeral service, and a particular denomination, you know, pastor holding that service, they would be able to bring in their things as long as they were either taken out or stored.
That's
and
right.
Not on continuous display.
That's right.
So you could honor any faith, or any faith could be exhibited in the building, provided that it did not remain on display.
Right. And the coordination of that will go through our special events office.
Sure.
The chapel and preparing it in whatever manner it needs to be for a particular event. This is the side looking from the Craig Alumni Center from their service area across in this direction. And then this is the view looking from Fire Heights Boulevard to the bell tower and the front door. That's just the view right here.
I like that bell tower. That's great.
It's very simple materials, permanent materials. We expect it to be a 100-year building.
Call for the question.
I have an interior finish board as well. Well, sorry, you can't. The stone flooring, ceiling, walls, wood, the exposed beams of the wood ceiling. And then these are the details for two restrooms, the ladies' restroom and men's restroom. Got a small amount of carpeting there. Interior sconces for the chapel and for the restrooms. So it's really a very simple palette for a really very small building. It's just over 2,000 square feet.
Thank you. There's been a call for the question. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. All right.
That's my report.
All right. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned, and we're to...